Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Wow. Okay. Worship team, thank you so much. That was awesome. That was awesome. It's fun to be on the front row sometimes instead of on up here. Just you get a different perspective on things. And like Pastor Greg was saying, God actually, he actually speaks to you when you're in, when you position yourself in different places. You change your posture, and God's actually going to change the way he speaks to you. But this has been an amazing morning so far. Wouldn't you say? It's been so good. Baptism Sunday is incredible. Baptism Sunday could hold its own on itself. You know what I mean? We could have just stayed in that place the whole day, and I would have been okay with that. I think we would have all felt okay with that. But anyway, you got me now, so there we go. We are in a preaching series called Devotion. Devotion. And I'm just going to jump right into it, if that's okay. I'm just going to go all in on it, on the preach, because devotion's a big topic, and it actually, it intimidated me pretty big, actually, when I was starting to set out on what I should focus on today, because it's like our whole life is meant to be devoted to God. So how do you narrow that down into like specific points? How do you narrow that down into a specific word for people? And anyway, a little overwhelming. Does anyone else feel a little overwhelmed by the thought of devotion to the God of the universe? Or is that just me? Okay. I want to suggest today that letting Jesus frame our reference for how we approach devotion can help us make sense of it all. So I'm going to talk about Jesus a lot today. I hope that's all right. I'm going to talk about Jesus a lot. I want to look at a passage in Scripture between him, a conversation between Jesus and Peter. Before I get there, though, I just want to say something about Jesus. That isn't it amazing that he doesn't call us to live a life different than what he lived? Like, he tells us to follow him. He set the example of living a devoted life. Pastor Greg said in his first message in this series, he said, Jesus is devoted to us. So he calls us to be devoted to him. It's this relationship we've got. But if we're honest, I think that as we start out on this journey of following Jesus, as we start out on a faith journey to follow Jesus, we have good intentions. And that's the title of the message today, is Good Intentions, if you want to write that down. Just like the start of any relationship, really, it's like we have good intentions. Like if you think about a marriage, the way a marriage starts out is like you, on your wedding day, you have the best intentions to be the best husband or the best wife that the world has ever seen. And it doesn't always work out that way. Intentions sometimes just aren't good enough. And I think sometimes we feel this way when it comes to our devotion. Like when it comes to our devotion to God, like no matter how hard we try, we feel like we're letting God down. So if you wanted to write down the title, like I said, oh, it's up there. Okay, great. I think one reason it feels like our intentions fall short sometimes is because we've turned devotion into a to-do list. So, you know, like, you try to rub the magic genie, the magic lamp, the God lamp the right way, and God will respond. Or, you know, you read your Bible every day for a set amount of time, or you go to church every week, and like it's just this endless cycle, this loop of things to do. And all of a sudden, you find yourself with this checklist that you're checking off all these boxes. Check, 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 check. And, you know, if you miss a day, if you miss a Sunday, if you miss that time in your Bible, you feel the weight of that. Like, from no one else except yourself. And I know those are just like little examples of living life, but I think it shows how that to-do list mindset can really creep in. Speaking of Bible, like being in the Bible every day, do you guys use the Bible app, like the streak? You know, you see, and you can keep track of your streaks every day? Isn't that just the like, that's the heaviest thing. It's like the streaks, man, like the streaks will get you because that's what I'm talking about, is like you're measuring yourself by this streak, right? You're measuring your devotion to God by this streak in your Bible app. And so if you miss a day, you know, it's like 12:30 in the morning and you're like, oh, shoot. But I have a sneaky thing you can do. You know, if you can catch it soon enough, if you change the time zone on your phone, go back, go Pacific, go West Coast, and then go in the Bible app. Your streak will still be alive. Just, you know, FYI. I've never done it, but. The thing is, God cares about your heart. He doesn't care about a streak. He's not the one measuring the streak. You are. So the other stuff is good stuff. So reading your Bible, going to church, serving on team, the stuff, the list, it's all good stuff, really. And it's going to naturally happen as you devote yourself to God. But ultimately, he wants you, not your to-do list. The to-do list tires us out. Like Pastor Greg was saying, you get tired. You get weary. The to-do list runs us down, makes us feel far from God. But God restores. God restores. When we felt tired of going through the motions and our faith feels dead, he restores. He restores. The to-do list is kind of like refinishing. Do you know, like, and the difference between restoring and refinishing something. God's into restoring. So refinishing something, Kat and I learned this the hard way recently when we spent way too much money and on a chair that we thought was being refinished, but it was being restored. And so refinishing is all about the outside. Refinishing is all about the list. It's all about getting all these things checked off, putting a fresh coat of paint on it so that the outside looks good, but the inside, the bones, the original structure of that thing might not be good. If you like think of restoration furniture or restoring a house, you've got to go from the inside out. And God is into that. He is into restoring. He wants to take all the dead things, all the broken down things, and turn them into something new, something beautiful, something perfect and whole again. And he wants to do that in your life. And so what I'm inviting you into today, what he's inviting you into today, is fresh life, restoration. But it has to be about the heart. And so I wanted to jump into this moment between Jesus and his disciple Peter. And I hope that that's going to help us today to encourage us to feel like when we're trying to be devoted, like when we're working really hard, but we're on this devotional treadmill. I'm hopeful that today will encourage us in that scenario. So turn to John chapter 21. It's the last chapter of the Gospel of John in your Bible. And if you want to turn, get to verse 15 to 17. That's what we're going to focus on today. But the reason I wanted to focus on this passage is because Peter is so like us. Like, we should identify ourselves with Peter in this passage. For all his good intentions, he feels distant from God. He's not as devoted to Jesus as he thought he was. Do you relate? I don't know. I relate. Peter was a guy who had told Jesus, even if all others fall away on your account, I never will. I never will. I will be devoted to you till the end. And then we saw in the Easter story, side note, wasn't our Easter production last week so amazing? Oh my goodness, if you missed it, is it going to go online someday or do we not know? We don't know, okay. This Easter production was just incredible, so I just wanted to shout out all the people who put all their blood, sweat, tears, all their hard work, the creative team, the actors and actresses, just give them a hand, it's so good. But we saw in the story, I was actually really touched by Matt Don, who was playing Peter in the story, in the video. He denied knowing Jesus three times. He denied Jesus. Peter, the guy that Jesus had renamed from Simon to Peter, which means rock, well, he had been anything but rock solid in his devotion to Jesus. And the Bible says when the moment Peter realized his lack of devotion, he cried. He wept bitterly, it says, the guilt and the shame and the regret flooding his mind. And I think that he realized all his words and good intentions hadn't been enough. The one that he claimed to love, he now felt like he wasn't living up to the standards there. If this can happen to Peter, one of the guys who actually touched Jesus, walked with him, saw him in the flesh, saw him work miracles, if this can happen to Peter, how much more can it happen to us? You guys still with me? Okay, we'll pick it up in verse 15, John 21, 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I love you. Hear the desperate devotion in Peter's life, in his words, to make that true, to will that to be true. The third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Peter was upset, it says, because Jesus asked him the third time, because Jesus reminded him of the three times he had denied Jesus. Do you love me, Jesus said. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So there's a few things I wanted to pull out of here that I think can be really beneficial to us as we walk out this life of devotion. And is it okay if we get a little bit practical? Pastor Greg's like, get us out of the theory. I want practical. Yeah, I'm ready for it. There's one thing that this passage kind of lays out that we can do when we find ourselves stuck in a devotional valley, like in a rut in our devotion to God. One thing we can do is take time to reflect. Take a moment. Reflect on where you're at. Remember where you've been, where you've come from. Sometimes, honestly, that's the only place we can start with the past, because it's too cloudy to see the future. And so we can have hope for the future, but sometimes practically and tangibly we need to start with where we're at, see where we've come from, and move forward off of that. Jesus helps us do that. Notice in the passage how he uses Peter's old name, Simon. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Hearing Jesus use that name for Peter would have flooded his mind with memories. Hearing that name reminds Peter where he's come from. Hearing that name reminds Peter who he was before he met Jesus. Jesus is saying, he's helping Peter. He's saying, remember. Remember? This is who you were before you met me. You were wandering. You were just existing. But I gave you real life. I gave you purpose. So how do you see yourself now? How do you see yourself now? Alex, how do you see yourself now? How do you see yourself now? Bryce, how do you see yourself now? Drew, how do you see yourself now? Now that you've met Jesus. When devotion feels hard, and it's gonna, take time to remember. Develop a pattern of remembering, a pattern of remembrance. Remember God's faithfulness. Reflect. Remember all the times that he's got you through. Remember his goodness. Reflect on his kindness towards you. Remember. Remember the Easter story. Remember the Last Supper. Remember that he died on the cross for you. Like, really practically. One of the best ways to create this pattern, a habit of remembering, is to develop a prayer life. In prayer, we work things out with God. In prayer, he speaks his promises over us. He remembers us. He helps us to remember him. It doesn't have to be like this checklist thing, this hours and hours and hours of solitude. One practical thing I've done, a shift I made in my own life, was on my commute to work, I have a 30-minute drive, and I would listen to sports radio every morning. Instead, I just turned it off. I just turned the radio off and used the silence to worship, used the silence to pray, used the silence to hear from God. And, you know, it's not my only time with God, but it's a time. I'm using what's in front of me, my commute, my 30-minute commute, to get closer to God, to draw nearer to him. Journaling. Journaling is another great tool. If you don't journal, I highly recommend it. Write down your wins. Write down your losses. Journal your prayers. Process through it. reflect, develop a long memory. And I love this idea that we would develop a long memory for the faithfulness of God. Develop a good memory for God's faithfulness in your life. The second thing in this passage that really sticks out to me is Peter's response. He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you." Out of our moments of reflection, we respond. And that would be point two. Respond. As God reminds us who we are and who he is, declare it. Peter says in verse 17, Lord, you know all things. It's such a short little statement, but it's got so much weight. It's packed with so much. He declares Jesus as Lord. Lord. He declares the all-knowing power of God. You know all things. He's declaring that nothing else, we sang this today, nothing else, no one else can satisfy like you, God. No one else is above you, Jesus. So what are you declaring over your life? What are you declaring over your life? Is your primary declaration Jesus, or is it something else? If we could stop and say, take a scenario, take like someone has said something hurtful to you or offended you. Take that. What if we, before we responded to that, we could just say, Jesus is Lord. Under our breath, in our heart, whatever, you say, Jesus is Lord, and then responded. What would our interactions look like if we declared him as Lord before we move forward with the rest of our life? Or rather than just saying, this is my tendency, like this is who I am, this is my worry, I tend to worry, I tend to be anxious, I just tend to look at things that way. What if rather than that kind of language, what about declaring Jesus as Lord over those situations, trusting that he's in control? Because we so often declare the negative instead of what God can do. Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. This is such good news. This tells us that devotion isn't actually a to-do list. It's your heart. In your heart, you believe. In your heart, you believe, and with your mouth, you declare, Jesus is Lord. With your life, you declare, Jesus is Lord. You're not doing anything more than that. The to-do list is gone. It's the cry of your heart as you call out to God. You're moving towards devotion. You're embracing that crazy, upside-down truth that the God of the universe loves you. That the creator of all things has a deep, personal love for you. So what Peter does is he receives the identity that Jesus has spoken over him and responds, declaring Jesus as Lord. And as he does that, he's declaring who it is that can break the cycle of guilt and shame. He's declaring who has already ticked all the boxes on the to-do list. He's making moves. That's the practical part. He's making moves by declaring Jesus as Lord. From being stuck in dead-end devotion to a follow me kind of devotion that Jesus calls us to. And I wonder sometimes if we feel stuck on the devotional treadmill because we're not letting our lives confess Jesus. We're not letting our everyday life, we're not letting all of our interactions, our small conversations, we're not letting the way we use our time, we're not letting the way we scroll. We're not letting the way we respond to people in the moment. We're not letting that confess Jesus as Lord. Instead, it's confessing us as Lord. That's what the world tells us to do. The world tells us to confess ourselves as little lords, basically. And make it about me. It's my thing. And, you know, like, self-care is really good. Take care of yourself, honestly. But when you elevate that, beyond a healthy amount, beyond a devotion to Jesus amount, when it becomes all about you, when life becomes fully about your comfort and the way that you can get things, and you know, you start to use people for things, and it becomes all about you, what ends up happening is we become a bunch of little lords, all trying to rule over our tiny little kingdoms when the king of the universe wants to do life with us. He wants us to do life with him. He wants so much more for us. We have this circle toy thing at home. And it's like a throne. It's like a seat that we sit Winston in, my 8-month-old son. And it's pretty cool. Like it's got all the bells and whistles. It's flashy. It's got it's like bright colors. It's got everything an 8-month-old really wants: shapes, colors, noise. What else? Speaks in French and English. It's like it's crazy. I don't know, man. I'm learning so much from it. So, but he loves it. When he's in there, he is in the zone. He is loving life. We call it the circle of neglect. You know, like, what Winston doesn't know is that we've stuffed him in there in his own little world. No, he's living his best life in his own little world, in his own little throne, on his own little throne. But little does he know that, like, I'm his dad. I'm just standing, like, I'm just in the next room. And I have access to the world. You know, like, I have access to so much more than that little circle. I have access to all his best toys that are up in his room. I have access to the park, which is across the street, which when someday, like today, the sun finally comes out, we're going to go to. And, you know, I have access to the car. We can drive anywhere. I have access to the car, which will take us to the airport, where we can fly anywhere. You know what I'm saying is that as his dad, I can give him so much more than what he sees in that moment in that little circle. God is like that. He has access. He is the ultimate. And I wonder if we've become stuck. That's what this is all about today. Have you become stuck in your devotion? I wonder if we've become stuck in our devotion because we've shrunk our worlds into little circles. We've shrunk, we've done the Winston thing. We've just sat ourselves on this little throne, shrinking our circles, shrinking our spheres. Verse 17 says, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Just like Jesus' life, our lives are purposed for others. We've been thinking about devotion in our own little circle. We've been thinking about devotion in a silo. It's like, okay, God, it's you and me. We are going to figure this thing out. I know that I am distant from you right now. I'm feeling far away. I'm feeling like I let you down, but I'm going to pull up my bootstraps. We're going to get this thing turned around. That's how we've been looking at devotion. But Jesus asks us to do something different. He asks us to represent him. So that's the third point. Got 3 R's for my points, so I hope you wrote them down. Represent. He is the good shepherd. We're simply called to follow him. Just like a shepherd cares for his flock, we are called to care for his people. We are called to care for the people that he cares about. Expand your sphere. If you feel stuck in your devotion to God, represent him. Make a decision to love on others. Make a decision to step outside of your zone, outside of your circle, outside of the silo of devotion that you've been in. Make a decision to step out and serve others. So the question is, what if becoming unstuck in our devotion to God isn't just about you and him, but about how you love others? What if becoming unstuck in your devotion isn't about another meditation app, isn't about another solo retreat, isn't about another nature walk? What if serving in church and leading a connect group in our summer connect group series that is coming up, or taking someone to lunch after service today, laying down our agenda for the needs of others, what if that is pure devotion to God? I looked up the definition of devotion as I was prepping for today. According to the dictionary.com, devotion is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for someone. Loving, loyal, enthusiastic. Let's be that type of church. Devoted to one another in love, cheering each other on, celebrating all of our wins, being with each other and caring for each other through our losses. That's the heart of Jesus. Love, loyalty, enthusiasm for you. For you. He loves with a perfect love. He is love, the Bible says. And 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Right? Because that's the next step. It's like, okay, I want to love on others. How do I do that? This is how we know. Jesus laid down his life for us. So, Jesus laid down his life for me. How am I to love on someone else? Lay down my life. And I'd encourage us today to think of laying down our life not in these massive ways. Like, not in these massive, like Jesus went to the cross. There's no greater love than that, okay? Like, he died for you and me. But I'd encourage us today to think of laying down our lives in all the very small ways. I've mentioned some of them already. Take someone out for lunch today. Buy them lunch. Buy them a coffee. Ask them about their life. Ask them about their worlds. Don't respond to something in anger. You know, when your spouse is just sticking that has that little extra jab, you know, that just is, it's not, Kat would never do that to me. I would probably do it to her. So she's the best. But think of all the small ways we can serve each other. So our response to a spouse that's digging it in on us would be grace. Would be, how can I serve you, actually? Like, it doesn't have to be patronizing. It's just authentic. It's just real. Out of the love you have for them. Jesus loves with a perfect love. Love, loyalty, enthusiasm. He's loyal to a fault. He sticks by our side even when we screw up. He promises to never forsake you and never leave you. And enthusiasm, Jesus is pumped about you. He knew you before you were born. He knows the number of hairs on your head, the gray ones coming in on the side of mine. He knows your goals and your dreams. He's gifted you and purposed you. He wants the best for you. He is very enthusiastic about you. He is very enthusiastic about you. This is Jesus, Lord of Lords. We declare it. Jesus, you are Lord. We reflect on his goodness and on his mercy to us, and we declare it. You are King of Kings. You are the shame breaker, the heart healer, the restorer, the one who makes all things new. The one who takes us from good intentions to God intention. Your life is purposed. Your life is intentioned. God has intention for you, and that's to live in relationship with him. In every day, all the small things. And so when the weight feels like it's crushing you, remember him. Don't rush to do something else. Don't rush to do another thing. Go to him. It can be a small prayer. Jesus, I need you. God, I need you. He's taking you from death to life, restoration. Making all things new. Making all things new again. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed here in the room, just let's take a moment. I want to give you an opportunity today to respond to that kind of love, to the devotion that led Jesus to the cross, respond to him taking our place and bringing us life. Because the creator of the universe wants a personal relationship with you. Maybe you never knew that that kind of love could actually exist. That God could be so devoted to you. Because the way the world loves has so many conditions attached. And you're tired of that. You're tired of strings attached love. His love is unconditional. So today, right now, is your chance to respond to Jesus and declare that he is Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you, in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to take a step to actually make that physical move and say, Jesus, I need you. Maybe you're in another camp and you've actually declared that Jesus is Lord in your life before, but you felt far from him. You know that your life hasn't been confessing him as Lord. If you want to recommit your life to him, to devote yourself to him again today, be bold. Committing your life to him in a declaration of who he is this time, not of what you can do for him. This is a moment between you and Jesus. No one's looking around. Our eyes are closed. He's been calling your name. He's been reminding you of who you are and whose you are. His. Today's the day to respond. No more putting it off. So if you want to invite Jesus into your heart to say yes to this love, to his love, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it up right now. Come on, all across the room.